Did you know that we have a discipleship team here at Ritson Road? Some of you are shaking your heads, going, yeah, I knew. Some of you are going, what? I don't know. We do. There's a group of us. We meet once a month to discuss how we're doing with discipleship in our church. So when you think about it, everything we do in the church is about discipleship, or it should be. So we've been meeting, and this was largely instigated by our fearless leader, Mr. John Healy, who sent a note out to all the churches several years ago saying, we want every church to develop a discipleship pathway. We want you to be able to show us on paper how you're doing discipleship in your church. So we took that seriously. We put together this committee. Actually, they put together the committee long before I was even here. And we've been working on this, and we've made some really good progress. Very, very good progress, actually. And hopefully in the fall, we're going to actually have something to kind of roll out for the congregation as a whole, and you'll be able to see how we see discipleship happening in our church. We have great discussions at those meetings. They're fabulous. The people on that team are wonderful, and it's just a wonderful time. Discipleship is such a big topic, though. You start trying to get your head around how it works in every area. Well, it was one of those conversations that led to this morning's message. Kind of put the seed of thought in my mind as something we should talk about. See, we were talking about spiritual gifts. Because, you know, developing your spiritual gifts is a part of discipleship. Makes sense, right? And one of the team members said something to the effect of, and I can't quote them exactly, my memory isn't that good, but they said something to the effect of, I've done 7 or 8 different gift surveys in the course of my life. I've done it. I know what my gifts are supposed to be. But no one's ever said this is how you should use your gifts. And that got me thinking. You know, we talk a lot about spiritual gifts. We talk about what they are and which ones you've got. We believe that every believer in Jesus Christ, anyone who has professed faith in Jesus Christ as Lord, has at least one spiritual gift, maybe more, probably more. But I began to wonder how many in our local church, even though they might know what their spiritual gift is, are not really sure how they're supposed to use it. As I thought about it, I was reminded of our Ephesians series. How many of you remember studying Ephesians? It wasn't that long ago. Come on. Well, 5 of you. Great. That was impactful. Do you remember Ephesians chapter 4? I'll put it up here on the screen for you. Verses 11 through 14. Paul is speaking about the gifts of grace or spiritual gifts. Starting in verse 11, he says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, in deceitful schemes. Notice in verse 12, the purpose of those gifts? To equip the saints for the work of ministry and for building up the body of Christ. That's the church. That's this church. It's every church that believes in Jesus. And why? In order to attain unity and maturity until we are all like Jesus. Now, if that's truly the purpose of spiritual gifts, to equip believers for ministry, to build up the body of Christ, to make us like Christ, then this is important stuff. This isn't just, oh yeah, I have a gift, yay. We need to put these gifts to use and use them the way God intended them to be used. So that led me to today's passage. 1 Peter 4, verses 8 through 11. Let's read it together. It says, above all, Keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray together as we get into this passage. Lord, thank You. Thank You for Your Word. And thank You that You have given each of us who believe in Jesus a gift to be used to build up the body of Christ. Lord, speak to us today about how to use those gifts, how to use them properly, and teach us, Lord, through Your Holy Spirit and the Word of God today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So why has God given us spiritual gifts? According to 1 Peter, to serve one another and ultimately to bring glory to God. Now before I go on here, maybe we should do a little review on spiritual gifts. Some of you might be thinking, this is kind of new for me. What is a spiritual gift? According to John MacArthur, I like his definition. It says, a spiritual gift is a graciously given, supernaturally designed ability granted to every believer by which the Holy Spirit ministers to the body of Christ. There's a lot in there, isn't there? See, first of all, it's graciously given. It's a gift of grace given to us because of God's amazing grace expressed to us. And it's freely given. We can't earn it. We can't even pursue it. We can't make it up. We can't kind of make it well up inside of us somehow. No, it's given to us by God. We just receive it. And it's through these gifts that the Holy Spirit ministers to the body of Christ, the church. Now, we're not going to go into detail on every spiritual gift. That would take a whole series of messages. And I know you probably have plans for lunch. And in fact, I'm going to show you a list of gifts in a minute. It's probably not even complete. It's not exhaustive. We're not going to talk about all the gifts. We're not going to discuss if all the gifts are for today or not. I know there's some controversy about that. We're not going to deal with that today. But you see, there's not even really a definitive list of gifts in the Bible. Now, that was a surprise to me, actually, when I started studying this. Because you see, as a teenager, when I first started learning about spiritual gifts, what did they give you? Well, the first thing it is, they gave you a list of all the gifts. I thought, hey, there's a list of all the gifts. That's fabulous. That must be in the Bible somewhere. Well, it is, sort of. You see, the way we get a list of spiritual gifts is from a variety of different passages. There's four of them, four main ones anyways. Romans 12, verses 3 through 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the whole chapter. Ephesians 4, which we read earlier, verses 11 to 14. And then 1 Peter 4, 8 to 11, that we also just read. Now, using those passages, you can make a list of gifts. And you can divide them into three groups, if you want. Some people do, and they divide into speaking gifts, serving gifts, and then sometimes what we call the sign gifts. Now, sometimes the sign gifts could be included in the speaking and serving gifts. Doesn't matter. They're all gifts of the Spirit. So you can see here's the speaking gifts, right? They have different names for them, depending on how people think about them, but there's the gift of the apostle. Or the missionary, or the church planter. That's all kind of the same gift. Gift of prophecy, which we often think of telling the future, but It also speaks to just being able to declare God's word. That's what prophets did. They had a word from God and they declared it. Nowadays, people who can prophesy just by taking God's word as we have it now in written form and declaring that. We have the gift of evangelism, the gift of the pastor or shepherd, the gift of knowledge, wisdom, teaching, exhortation, and encouragement. These are all speaking gifts because they involve speaking. Kind of obvious. They're all speaking gifts because they require the person with that gift to proclaim something. Now we have the serving gifts. Serving gifts tend to be a little bit more behind the scenes kind of things. They're the people that we sometimes don't even notice are using their gifts, but they are, and they're using them. You have the gift of helps, gift of hospitality, gift of giving, mercy, faith, discernment, leadership, and administration. Obviously, they're called the serving gifts because they're more acts of service rather than upfront speaking gifts. And then you have the gifts that we sometimes call the sign gifts: healing, miracles, tongues, interpretation of tongues. Now, you could put those, you could say that healing is a serving gift if you wanted. It serves. And you could say that tongues is a speaking gift because you speak when you do it. But often they put these in a separate category because in the New Testament they were used most often as a sign of authority and as a sign that the person with these gifts had authority from God to speak on behalf of God. So there's 20 of the gifts of the Spirit. I hope you know which ones of those you have. As we went through them, were you able to go, yeah, I remember that. That one is mine. That's one that God gave me. And there's probably more than what's on this list. I'm not about to limit God on what kind of gifts he can give out. God will give whatever gifts he wants, whenever he wants, and to whomever he wants. Now, if you've never sought out what your gifts are, and remember, you probably have several that are strong in your life. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, I'd encourage you to take some time and discover what your gift is. What's your primary gift? What are your secondary gifts? How is God equipping you for service within the body of Christ? There are really good resources out there. We have these things called computers nowadays, you know, the internet. You type in spiritual gifts, it'll come up with a half dozen articles, different surveys you can do just online, take you a half an hour. They'll tell you what your spiritual gifts are. It's a good place to start. But I would encourage you, after you do that, if you've never done it before, do it. You've got to start somewhere. Then when you find out what it says your gifts should be, pray about it. Take some time alone with God and say, God, is this really the gift you have given me? And then there's one other thing to do. This is, you got to let people into your life a little bit. Go to some of the people that know you the best. And say, I've been working on this spiritual gift thing, and I think maybe I have the gift of mercy, for example. You know, do you see that in me? Because if you have that gift, other people will see that in you. And if you're having trouble getting started with this, come talk to me. I'll get you started. You know, I like to give out books, so I can give you a book to read if you want, or I can point you in the right direction where you could do a spiritual gift survey or anything like that. I'd love to help you with that. But as I said earlier, my goal today is not really to talk about the spiritual gifts themselves, but rather how we use them. Consider today a call to action, if you will. You see, God has given us spiritual gifts to serve one another and ultimately to bring glory to God. But what does that look like in the church? Let's go back to 1 Peter 4 and see what he says. So first of all, look in verse 10. He says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. We're to use the gift we have to serve other believers. I mentioned there were other passages that talk about gifts, and they all have a similar theme. Romans 12:5 says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And of course, remember back to Ephesians 4 we looked at earlier. We read that the gifts are for equipping, preparing believers for ministry. It's clear that spiritual gifts are not just given for our own personal edification. We don't just get gifts to make us a better person or to make us look good. They're intended to be used to serve and build up one another within the body of Christ, the church. So going back to 1 Peter, verse 10, see, he says not only that we have to use them, but he says that we are to be good stewards of God's varied grace. Remember, spiritual gifts are a gift of grace. Usually when we talk about stewardship, all of you get really uncomfortable, right? Because you think I'm going to talk about money. Usually when we talk about steward, we talk about how we use money and how we, you know, how we manage our talents. And we usually talk about the parable of the talents and all those different things. But Peter says that we're supposed to be good stewards of our gifts. Not just our money. We're supposed to be good stewards of everything God gives us, including our spiritual gifts. We're not just supposed to hide our gift away somewhere and save it so that when God comes back, we can say, hey, here's my gift. I kept it safe for you. We're supposed to invest our gifts and use them. They're God's, not ours. He's just given them to us for a time. I mean, if you think about it, it makes sense. Kids. Where are my kids in the service? Any kids in the service? When you open a Christmas present or a birthday present, what's the first thing you want to do with it? Put it on the shelf, right? And we don't even want to open the package, right? No. You want to rip the thing open and put the batteries in it, see how it works. You want to use it. It'd be like getting a new bike for your birthday and hanging it up in the garage. Say, hey, thanks, Mom and Dad, for the bike. That's a great gift. I'm so glad I have that bike. I'm so proud of that bike. That is a really special bike. I love that bike. Aren't you going to ride it? No. I don't want to use it. We wouldn't do that with physical gifts that people give us. And the same is true with our spiritual gifts. They're meant to be used. That's their whole purpose. But how do we use them? Verse 11 gives us a little bit of guidance here. He says, whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. Remember in our chart we had the speaking gifts and the serving gifts? Well, for the speaking gifts, all of those speaking gifts, Peter says, if that's your gift, you should speak as one who speaks the oracles of God. What does that mean? Well, oracle is just another fancy word for words. The NIV version says, as one who speaks the very words of God. Now, some people have taken this a little bit to the extreme and said, hey, I have the gift of one of the speaking gifts, so everything I say must be a word from God. So we should probably write it down and add it to the Bible, right? No. We know the Bible is complete. We're not going to add anything or take anything away from the Bible. I think what Peter is saying here is not that anything I say because I have a gift of speaking gift is now suddenly a word from God. He's saying that we have the Word of God. And when we speak, when we use those speaking gifts, we should speak the Word of God to people. You see, the gift of teaching, for example, is not just given so that someone can be a good teacher. It's so someone can be a good teacher of the Word of God, of the Bible. The gift of teaching is given to people so that they can teach the Word of God effectively so other people will understand it. So the speaking gifts are from the Holy Spirit, and we use them to communicate the Word of God, the Scriptures, to others. Clearly communicate the Word of God. You know, what about the gift of prophecy? Well, people should use the gift of prophecy to prophesy from the Word of God. What has God said? What does that mean to us today? How does that challenge us? What about the gift of encouragement or exhortation? We should encourage people from the Word of God, not from our own wisdom, our own thoughts. Speaking gifts are meant to take that Word of God and communicate it clearly to others. The gift of evangelism. We don't just go out there and try and save people ourselves. No, we go out and we preach the Word of God, the gospel of salvation, to those who haven't heard. That's how you use those gifts. For the serving gifts, it says we are to serve with the strength that God provides. I love that God never expects us to go it alone. He never just gives us something and says, hey, you're on your own now. He not only gives us the gift, but also the strength to use it. So when we serve, notice it says when we serve, not if. When we serve, we're to serve by the strength that God supplies. Not by our own strength. It's never about us. And I think God does that on purpose. I don't think He wants us to get too proud or too full of ourselves, but to know that it always comes from Him. The strength comes from Him. The gift comes from Him. It's all about God and Jesus Christ at the end of the day. So if you have the gift of mercy, you be merciful with people as God gives you the strength to do that. You have the gift of giving. Some people have been blessed financially in this life, and God has given them a gift to give and be generous to others. But they're not asked to be generous beyond their means. They're generous within the means that God gives them, with the strength that God gives them. What about those who help? Some people just love to jump in and help. No matter what the cause is, someone says, hey, we need help with this. They're there. But only as God gives them the strength. This helps us a lot because sometimes we feel guilty, don't we? Oh, I wish I could help more. I wish I could do more. I wish I could serve more. God will give you all the strength you need to serve as much as He wants you to serve. Do you believe that? So we don't need to feel guilty when we get so tired that we just can't do it anymore. But we know that God gives us all the strength we need to serve Him. The key thing here, though, we need to speak the words of God. We need to serve as God gives us strength. But I think sometimes we just need to do it. We just need to start somewhere and start using our gifts. We need to use them to proclaim the Word of God. We need to use them to serve the church. Remember, I think it was Nike's slogan. I think they still use it, right? Just do it. Well, maybe we should have a slogan. Probably not, but it would be like, just use them. I don't know. You have gifts, just use them. Sometimes I think we're so busy trying to figure out what our gift is that we don't put it to use. That's all there is to it. That's it, you say? Aren't you going to give us a list or something? Maybe we could have a list of all the jobs that need to be done in the church, and beside it, the spiritual gifts that go along with them, and I can figure out then where I fit. I'm not going to do that. I'll tell you why. Because it's not as simple as saying, for example, oh, look, I have the gift of teaching. I guess I should teach Sunday school. It's also not as simple, oh, look, I don't have the gift of teaching, so I don't have to teach Sunday school. It's not the way it works. You see, let me see if I can explain this. If you're teaching Sunday school, you may have the gift of teaching, and that's probably a good place for you to be. But you may also be teaching Sunday school because you have the gift of encouragement, the gift of exhortation. You're able to come alongside those kids or those adults, whoever you're teaching, and encourage them. Or maybe you're teaching Sunday school because you have the gift of helps. You just knew, hey, we needed Sunday school teachers, and I can figure out how to teach. I'll do it. It's not just a matter of lining up the gifts with jobs. In fact, maybe what you're doing isn't as important as how you do it. Maybe whatever you're doing, you need to look at what you're doing and say, am I using my gift as I do this job? As I serve in this area, am I using my gifts? Because you'll notice I didn't say anything in my list of gifts about the gift of music. Now, some people would say, you know, in the Old Testament, God did give those people some gifts to be singers or musicians and whatnot. The New Testament doesn't say anything about a spiritual gift of singing. But we have people that, you see them up here every Sunday morning, that come up here and they sing and they play instruments for you. And we could say, well, that's their gift. Well, it's certainly their talent. But those people all have a specific spiritual gift. And I know from experience with them that a lot of them are using it. A lot of them are encouraging one another as they plan the worship and as they plan what they're going to do. A lot of them are bringing forth words from God. And hey, what about this scripture passage? And what about this? They're using their gifts within the ministry that they're involved in. So I'm not going to give you a list so you can slot yourself in somewhere. I can't make it that easy for you. It requires some soul searching and some heart searching. But I'll tell you what I will do. I'll give you a challenge instead of a list. I know you'd rather have a list, wouldn't you? Consider it a summer challenge. We've got 2 months of the summer, right? The lazy, hazy days of summer. Give you something to think about over the summer months. I'd like to challenge all of you to do 3 things. 3 things over the summer. Pretty simple. First of all, determine what your spiritual gift is, or confirm what it is, if you've already done this before. Take some time, figure out what your main spiritual gifts are. If you've already done that, and you're already strong in that, you're already a third of the way there. Don't forget, ask other people if what you think is true of yourself is what they see in you as well. So determine or confirm what your spiritual gift is this summer. Number 2, think about what you currently do in this body of believers, or maybe in the larger body of believers. Maybe you're involved in other areas outside of this church that ministers to believers. That's okay too. Think about what you do, whether it's officially or unofficially. It doesn't have to have a title. It could just be something you do and no one even knows you do it. That's okay. And then ask yourself, is what I'm doing the best use of what I identified as my spiritual gifts? Or better yet, am I using my spiritual gifts within these areas of ministry where I'm currently serving? Remember, we want to be good stewards of our gifts. So we want to make sure we're using them to their fullest. So that's number 2. Number 1, identify or confirm what your gift is. Number 2, look at what you're doing and see if your gifts line up with that. And then number 3, look at your gifts and ask yourself this question. Has God given me a gift that I'm not using? Has God given me a gift that I'm just not using yet, or maybe I don't know how to use it? You see, remember, if you're a believer and you're not doing anything at all in the church or with believers at all, that's probably a good indication that you're not using your gift, right? Because everyone has a gift. But look carefully and pray about it. And if God makes you aware of an unused or an underused gift in your life, then look for a way to use it. Seek it out. Find a way to use it. In all my years of ministry, I don't think anyone has ever come up to me and said, "Hey, Mark, Pastor Mark, I have the spiritual gift of helps. I just don't know what to do with it. Can you help me find a place to serve in the church?" Never happened. We do get people that volunteer for stuff. This is different, though. Have you ever gone to your pastor or your ministry leader and said, "Look, I really think I have this spiritual gift. Can you help me find a way to use that in youth ministry where I serve, or in our mature fellowship, or when I'm working with the kids, or whatever it is you're doing?" Can you do those three things for me? Identify. Look at what you're doing. Does it line up with your gifts? And then check. See if there's any gifts that you're not using. You got 2 months. As you're relaxing at the beach or at the cottage or on vacation, whatever you're doing, take some time. I challenge every one of you to be able to come back here after the summer. Well, you can come through the summer too. It's okay. But in September, if I were to come up to you and say, "What are your gifts? How are you using them? And where could you use them more?" Could you answer those three questions? Let's do this together as a church. I promise it will make us stronger and more in tune with what God is doing in our midst. Let's figure this out and not let those precious gifts that God has given us go to waste or sit unused on the shelf. God has given us spiritual gifts. Let's use them. Let's pray together, please. Lord, thank you for your many gifts. Your goodness to us is amazing. We look at the way you provide for us in so many ways. And yet there's these special gifts of the Holy Spirit that you give to us, Lord, that sometimes we struggle with, Lord. Quite honestly, we just don't know what to do with them. So, Lord, I pray you would give us wisdom. Wisdom from you, Lord. I pray you'd give us time, some time to just spend with you and with the Holy Spirit, exploring what our gifts are and how to use them better in your church. And Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do. I thank you for what you're already doing in our church, and I thank you for what you're going to do in the future, because this is your church, Lord Jesus. And you will build your church. And we're just a small part of it, Lord. But so thankful that you use us and you use our gifts to build up one another and to build your church. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So God has given each and every believer spiritual gifts to serve one another and ultimately to bring glory to God. That's the rest of this passage we're looking at. Look at the end of verse 11. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That's what we want, isn't it? That in everything God would be glorified through Jesus Christ. It always comes back to Jesus. He will be glorified. Glory belongs to him, it says, forever and ever. And we get to be a part of that as we use the gifts that God gives us through the Holy Spirit to equip and serve the body of Christ, the church. So let's get to work. And let's see what God will do through us. Blessings on you. Have a great day.